All right, I just got to singing and forgot to grab the clicker, so I'll bring it up here now. So good to see all of you here this evening. I would say that tonight, following the services, it would be a good idea if we were to take up a collection for Darlene to see if she'll hang around a few more years. No, congratulations. 47 years. That's fantastic. Happy anniversary to y'all today. It is so very good to see you this evening, especially if you happen to be visiting with us tonight. I want to thank you for your presence this evening. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. We read several passages from that text just a few moments ago. Appreciate Thomas doing that for us. And then we want to consider the thoughts here from this particular idea and concept tonight. The thought being, how much of yourself do you want to give to Jesus? How much of yourself do you want to give to Jesus? Now, as we think about this text, when we read chapter 7, we're introduced to several types of people. There are a variety of people that we get an opportunity to be introduced to here in the reading that we have. And our interest is not in their social, ethnic, or gender difference, but their spiritual differences. Because we could go back in and we could do some study and we could look at the different types of people that are given to us here and their backgrounds, and we're going to probably touch just briefly on one of those backgrounds tonight, one of the differences. But what we're really interested in, the spiritual differences of the individuals that we're going to make reference to this evening from the text. And so when we read through this text, it certainly is worthy of our analysis this evening. Now, what I want to do is I want us to look together and consider several of these individuals when we look at this idea of how much of yourself do you want to give to Jesus. The first group of individuals that I would like for us to look at are the Pharisees and the lawyers that are referenced beginning about verse 28. Here Jesus, first of all, is talking about John the Baptist, and he's talking about what a blessing that he is and what a great prophet that he is. But there's a problem. As great a prophet as John the Baptist was, there were certain individuals who would not pay attention to his teaching. They would not hear his preaching, and it certainly never motivated them to make a change in their behaviors or in their lives. And among that group that we're going to read about here are these Pharisees and lawyers. So beginning in verse 28, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And to what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep." You know, really, when you go back and you analyze this text, there was nothing really that could be done for these Pharisees and these lawyers. They had made their mind up. They were not going to be accepting of what John the Baptist taught, and they certainly weren't going to be accepting to what Jesus was going to teach. In fact, whenever you find them dealing with Jesus, you're going to see that they get all upset because Jesus decides that he is going to go in and he is going to mingle with people that are sinners. Why? Because he came to seek and to save the lost. And when he does that, he can't satisfy anybody. Those folks can't be satisfied. What is it that they said about John the Baptist? Well, they had their thoughts about John the Baptist. He's a recluse. He doesn't have anything to do with anybody. Jesus comes in. Well, he's a party guy, right? He's a reveler. He's in with all of these people. They can't be satisfied, but they're here for the same purpose. John is the forerunner of Christ. Christ is going to be emphasizing and building upon what John has started. So they're here working towards the same purpose and the same goal. And it didn't matter who they were as individuals. It wasn't going to satisfy this group of folks. So when we think about these lawyers and these Pharisees, we think about people who decided that they were not going to listen. They wanted to have nothing to do with Jesus. How much are you going to give yourself to this guy and to his ministry? None. None. Now, to be fair, there were some Pharisees who were not hostile to Jesus. In fact, we're going to find that eventually there were probably some Pharisees that did become disciples of Jesus. We can think about a couple here. We first of all will find out about a man later on in chapter 7, Simon, who was not hostile to Jesus. In fact, gave him an invitation to his home. That's one Pharisee. We think about the Pharisee in Luke's 13, 31 through 32. They actually came, a group of Pharisees came to Jesus and warned him that he needed to escape from that area because Herod was out to kill him. So they actually did something to his benefit. They came to Jesus, said, listen, you need to watch out for this guy. It'd probably be best if you went on your way and escaped from this place. So they rescued him. They brought him news that he was in danger. Actually kind of saved his life at that particular time. Not that his life wasn't going to be saved anyways, because his purpose, the purposes of God needed to be fulfilled. But here are some Pharisees who are not hostile. In fact, they're giving him good advice. You think about some others. You think about in Luke chapter 23 and verse 50. Joseph of Arimathea. When you go to some of the other gospel accounts, you'll find that Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple. John says, but secretly, he was a disciple. He came to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. Luke says he's a member of the council. He's a member of the council. Pharisee. Not hostile to Jesus. In fact, friendly. And then you think about John chapter 3, 1 and 2 with Nicodemus there. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, calls him teacher, has questions. He was not hostile towards Jesus. In fact, he helped to bury Jesus after his crucifixion. And so there were a few Pharisees that potentially became disciples and were not hostile to Jesus. But for the most part, those described in our text represent men who have no interest in following Jesus. None. Now, I mention them because they're a group of people that need to be mentioned here in this text. But when I look out here among those who are present, I'm not sure that I find a ton of people who fit this category among those of you who are here tonight. This is our Sunday night crowd, right? You are people that want to have some relationship with Jesus. So maybe you don't fall into this category of these individuals, but it is important for us to mention that because we're going to meet these folks in life. There are people in this world who absolutely want nothing to do with Jesus. And you could even go a little further and say, like many of the Pharisees, they're going to do everything in their power to discredit Jesus for you and do despite it. And there's a lot of people like that. You're going to have to be wary of. You're going to be careful about. The Pharisees, for the most part, wanted Jesus what? They wanted him executed. They're the ones who incited the crowd to cry out, crucify, so that it appeared that there was going to be a big, huge riot in the city, and it would sway Pilate to make this decision to give him the sentence of execution. And so there are those individuals. How much of yourself do you want to give to Jesus? There's some people that don't want to give anything. They're not going to give anything. But then we have another individual. And we'll probably spend a little bit of time here because this fella probably reflects maybe some of us. Maybe some of us. We go on down here in the text and you're going to read about a guy named Simon the Pharisee. It says, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he'd have known what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she's a sinner. You get that right? You know, how many of us have ever been guilty of mumbling something under our breath? You know, when we see something going on, you know, like that. Sometimes we mumble it loud enough because we might want it to maybe be heard. Anyways, he said this to himself. He wasn't really talking. I don't know how loud he got when he said it. He was really trying to talk to himself, I guess, but he was just talking. But Jesus knew his heart and he heard what he was saying, or at least knew what he was saying in his heart. This is what that guy's saying. Yeah, some prophet this guy is, right? I mean, that's really the meat of the statement. Some prophet this guy is. I mean, had this guy truly been a prophet, you know, he would have known this woman. Whoa, what kind of woman she is. She is a woman of the city. She is a sinner. And he wouldn't have anything to do with her, because by having something to do with her, man, his influence is going to be impacted. People are going to look down on him, right? They're going to look at him there and say, listen, that's that guy that had that sinful woman come in and wash his feet. I don't know what in the world he had anything going on with her. Why in the world would he be interested in having anything to do with that woman? If he were a prophet, he'd know better, right? What kind of prophet is that? Let me tell you the kind of individual that Simon the Pharisee represents in life. He wanted Jesus to be his acquaintance. And that was about it. He invited Jesus to his house. Why? Because right now, Jesus is pretty well known. His fame has spread abroad. He's been known to do some pretty amazing things when he's out preaching and teaching. They're bringing folks to him. He heals them. And so there is some fame that goes with being with Jesus. So here is this Pharisee Simon, and he's going to invite Jesus to his house. Why? Because now he's the kind of guy that might be able to name drop. Yeah, I want to be acquainted. I know that guy. How many of us do that a lot of times? You know, we run into folks and we start talking to them and they start asking about things. Maybe ask them some question about where are you from? Where are you? Oh, hey, do you know so-and-so? I know them. You know them? Oh, yeah. Great guy. Oh, well, yeah. We're like this. Right? I mean, we talk about, not really, but we act like it. And I think that's kind of the way it was here with Simon. Oh, it was a big to-do to have Jesus come to his house, because now he can name drop. He can say, yeah, I'm an acquaintance. I know him. He's been to my house to eat. How many of us have used that phrase before when trying to say that we really know somebody to make somebody understand our relationship? Oh, yeah, they've been to my house to eat. And that's the way it was here with Simon and the way it was with Jesus. But you kind of get an understanding of Simon's heart and the kind of guy that he was. And you're going to get to see Jesus rebuke him too in this passage of scripture, because Jesus knew his heart. He was interested in having a big name come join him. Maybe it was going to mean that his popularity would grow. You know, a lot of people want something to do with Jesus when they believe that it can do something for them. Now, we know that being in a relationship with Jesus will do something for you. But in this case, this guy wasn't really interested in doing anything for Jesus. He just wanted what Jesus could do for him. He wanted an acquaintance. He wanted to be associated with Jesus, but not fully invested, not fully committed. I'll feed the guy a meal. I'll invite him to the house. You know, I'll let everybody know that we're connected somehow. Maybe that gets me some benefit or something. And that's it. And you know what? A lot of us are like that too. A lot of us are like that. We want Jesus to be our acquaintance when it's convenient for us. But, I might step to the side if there's something about Jesus that makes other people uncomfortable. And so here, in this particular text, he sees this woman come in, and he knows who she is. And so he's going to say, man, if he were a real prophet, He'd know better. He'd know better. How many of us just don't have our full faith in Jesus? Now, we like to show up at services. We like to be here in the presence of other Christian people. We like to say we are Jesus people. We are Christians. But that's as far as it goes. We're not interested in that relationship going any further. Because then at that point, the relationship would become maybe uncomfortable for us. Now that leads us to the last individuals that we want to consider, the publicans and the sinful woman. Now we go back up to the very beginning of the reading, and we find here where that when the people heard the preaching of John, the tax collectors, the publicans, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. They declared God just. They said, you know what? Figuratively and literally, we're all in. Immerse us. Baptize us. God is just, and we're all in. And you think about this woman here, when she hears that Jesus has come to Simon's house, what does she do? She goes into that house. I don't know that she got an invitation, folks. She only heard. I would assume from the reading, and I can't prove it, but I would assume that maybe she didn't have an invitation. After you think about the reaction of Simon, it was his house, but she heard that Jesus was going to be there, and a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table there, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and she stood behind him weeping, and she anointed his head, and she wiped his feet, and she cried there, and she served him. You know, Jesus, upon hearing Simon's response, says this, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, even Jesus acknowledged her sinfulness. He said, they are forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You know, I think about this woman. I think about how that she is fully invested. I think about these publicans that we read about earlier. They recognized Jesus as their Savior and they wanted Him as their Master. How much are you willing to give to Jesus? There's so many things that when I think about this woman that run through my mind on this occasion. Let me tell you what I appreciate about her. It's this. She cast aside her ego. She threw it away. Said, my ego is not going to get in the way of me serving this man. I want him to be my Savior. I want him to be my Master, and I'm going to serve. And I don't care about the stares, and I don't care about the comments. How many of us allow our ego oftentimes to stand in the way of allowing Jesus to be our Master and Savior? She didn't let it. She came in knowing she was a sinful woman. She anointed Jesus. She didn't care what that looked like to everybody else. Maybe everybody else was staring at her and looking at her. Obviously, Simon thought there was something out of place with this. Everybody's staring. What in the world is going on? You've had it happen. These uncomfortable situations with folks. Sometimes you just really don't know exactly what you ought to do in the moment, right? And here she is, probably making everybody else uncomfortable. It doesn't matter. She doesn't care what it looks like. She doesn't care about the humiliation, the shame. She doesn't care that everybody else at the house that night wasn't willing to do what she did. She didn't have to run with that crowd. What she needed to do was run with Jesus. And on this occasion, she cast aside her ego. She didn't mind about the comments. She ignored the stares. She did it to exalt Jesus and to humble herself. I want to know tonight, how many of us are willing to exalt Jesus and diminish our own importance? How much of yourself do you want to give to Jesus? Like I said, I don't know that we've got too many folks that would fall into that first category. But I think we've got a lot of us that have probably at some point in our life fallen into that second category. What we need is for all of us to get our hearts right and be like that sinful woman when it comes to our service to Jesus and giving all that we can to Him. I hope that tonight you'll think about that. I hope that you'll consider your life. I hope that if you're not giving your all to Jesus, that you will. You know, as I was thinking about this lesson, the one thing that kept coming to my mind, one of the passages of Scripture, I couldn't help but think about what Paul said. We have become what? We have become fools for Christ. I'm willing to give it all. Hope that you're willing to give it all. And if you haven't given it all to Him, we're going to offer an invitation right now. You can respond to this invitation. You can be baptized to wash away your sins. If you've not repented and confessed that Jesus is Son of God yet, you can do that. Come forward and be baptized. He'll add you to His kingdom. And if it's the case that you've not been living the way that you should, fully invested in the Lord, you haven't made Him your Master and your Savior, we beg and plead with you to do that while together we stand and sing.